Welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learn to cope differently during social isolation while reading Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfections together. Today we're looking at the chapter called Exploring the Power of Love, Belonging, and Being Enough. But before we get into that, I want to ask Willie, how are you feeling about this podcast so far? Are you having fun with this? Has it been helpful? Do you regret agreeing to doing this?
Oh, it's been fun so far. Our audience is still growing exponentially, so I've learned a lot about exponential growth lately, following all the news. So, well, I should have like 6 billion listeners by probably like in 3 weeks' time, I think is how it works. So, thanks to our audience. It's we're glad you're with us.
Well, it's not as exponential because we had 6 yesterday and now we have 10.
Well, if you change the time period, it's still exponential.
Okay.
So it's exponential by... over a 3-week period.
Okay. I don't know. You're the one who does math and stuff. I cannot math.
Commit math. I have no idea. So I'm this is not medical or scientific advice here. No, but it's been fun. It's we get to talk. We were dating. I think we were gonna like watch TV one night, and I was like, "Why don't we just talk?" And you're like, okay. "About what?"
We did. I was just surprised because I was just like, this is a dude and he wants to just talk. I was like, okay.
Yeah. A lot of stuff to talk about. I hadn't talked for like the past decade, so I had a lot of stuff kind of piled up.
Yeah. So I am starting to feel a bit of a, like I call it a vulnerability hangover where you're like, oh crap, I just publicly like said I would do something and now I have to do it and I feel weird and I want to hide. That's what I have going on. That's how I'm feeling about this podcast. But there's no turning back now.
Yeah. No, there's I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling that yet. So we'll see. Maybe this episode I'll overshare.
So do you have any news about our podcast?
Oh yeah. Well, so we are now live on iTunes podcast app. So you can subscribe. That feels official. If it's with Apple, it's official. So you can subscribe by searching Two Slant Trees. And Jess is hoping, Jess and I actually, are hoping to have the podcast uploaded by 3 p.m. each day. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll get it out as quick as we can.
Yeah, because like hashtag three kids at home.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so... let's get to talking about love and belonging.
Yeah, so the title of the chapter this week is, or this week, I feel like everything goes by weeks in my head.
I know, it's daily. We're daily intense.
Yeah, so it's exploring the power of love, belonging, and being enough.
Yeah. So she starts right away by talking about the one thing that separates people who experience love and belonging from those that didn't is their sense of worthiness. Basically... the people that felt like they were worthy enough to experience love and belonging did feel it. But most people, she says, really struggle to believe they are presently worthy as is.
Yeah, and so she had like a list of, I guess, worthy prerequisites. So like, it's a list of things where if a lot of people will say this in their head, like, I'll be worthy if I have X or Y. I don't know, did you connect with any of those, Jess?
I didn't, like, there was not... not really any from the list exactly. I mean, I guess I can, it's unfortunately I do, like one of them is like, I'll be worthy when I lose 20 pounds. I think like I could see the world would, I don't know, I can see that idea of like post, like get back your post, your body before the baby kind of thing. But I don't know. That doesn't connect the most, or it's the one on the list that connects the most. But I think when I was thinking about it today, I do feel like sometimes I lack worthiness to be your wife, partly because I am like terrible at the stereotypical wifey things. Like, I'm not a good cook.
Go on, Jesse.
I'm not a good cook. I'm a terrible housekeeper. And like, I can barely handle 2 days alone at home with my children without feeling like I go crazy. And so like, I think I told you this before, but like in my like sad moments, I'm like wondering if you're just gonna like leave me because there's like nothing tangible keeping you here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I'm very sad to hear that because this doesn't make any sense to me. But
it doesn't make any sense to you
because I just love you. But yeah.
Hashtag vulnerability hangover.
Yeah. But it's, I guess when I look at that list, I'm like, I only pick things, let's say I have one where it's like, I'll be worthy when I can make a living selling my art. Well, that's just not important to me.
Pure art.
Right?
I'm like, trying to imagine what, like, you, what your
just
art
seems
would
ridiculous.
Be.
That just seems but, ridiculous. But then I only have, then I only would pick ones and I'm like, oh, I already have that. So
you can get pregnant. That's on the list. Why did I say that one?
Yeah.
Don't get any ideas in my head.
Yeah.
So none of those relate to you.
Or the only, I only allow them to relate to me once I've already accomplished them.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So do you, but okay, then here's the a different question, or the same question said differently. Do you have, like, this sort of ongoing kind of tape in your head that goes over and says, like, if I get X or if I do Y, then, like, I'll be a better person and people will love me more?
Maybe not self-aware enough to know what it is, though. So I know I carry around stress about, like, am I doing good enough? Is this working? You know, am I going to be happy with this? But I can't put it into words what's actually going on there, right?
Okay.
It's like, I'll be worthy when we finish the renos on the house. I mean, that's something that causes me stress sometimes.
Yeah.
But I...
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Okay.
That you're just like innately feel a sense of like worthiness to be loved.
I feel like innately a sense that you are worthy.
But I'm glad to hear that because I don't know if I do.
Okay. So, anyways.
So, I'm one of those, you're one of those abnormal people and I'm one of those normal
maybe,
people.
Maybe. Yeah, I think we'll talk about that later too. And we'll, yeah, how people view themselves. Because
yeah.
There is, yeah. Okay. Well, maybe we'll get into some of these definitions that she uses. So,
why don't you read this quote?
Yeah. So, at the heart of, this is about wholeheartedness and kind of the definition of this chapter. At the heart of wholeheartedness is the following idea: worthy now, not if, not when. We are worthy of love and belonging now, right this minute, as is.
So that's the one that I need to figure out.
Yeah,
I mean, sure. I think I know that it's like something that I am like, okay, Jesus says I'm worthy because, you know, it's like that from that Christian perspective of like, I am an image bearer of God, so I am worthy and I'm like a human being and therefore I'm worthy. But somehow we just all need to cultivate this idea of like, just because you are worthy. Like there's no if then. It's just like, anyways.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a... What's the right... There's probably a very good philosophical world.
I was just going to say, I think, therefore, I'm worthy.
No, that doesn't
work. It doesn't work at all.
No.
I know. I just commit philosophy?
Yeah. I think so. Wasn't it Stephen Harper? It said something about committing sociology as if it was a crime. Anyways. No, I think, therefore, I'm worthy is not true because we're not always thinking all the time,
that's
right?
That's true. I know. I'm just
but
trying
also,
to be like...
There's also, it's just not right. Descartes, who first said, I think, therefore I am. Yes. Well, on the one hand...
Sorry, I shouldn't have got you starting to talk about philosophy.
Yeah. He kind of devalues people a little bit. Oh, he's not whack. I mean, he was, yeah.
Anyways.
But I don't think he maybe has a good view of what a person is, actually, at the end of the day. Or even who God is that flows from him. So.
Shots fired. Yeah. Okay, so she's gonna, let's talk about, she gives the definitions of love and belong. Before that, she talks about the three, she calls them truths about love and belonging, which are, number one, love and belonging will always be uncertain. Number two, love and belongs with belonging, like they belong together, love and belonging. Mm. And three, a deep sense of love and belonging is an irreducible need of all women, men, and children. Which I think probably most people find is fairly intuitive.
Yeah.
Do you want to... why don't you read the definition of love? But how crazy is that? That she took 3 years to write...
Was it? Do you think it was full-time? Or did she have other work that she was doing at the time?
Well, this would be the point where I would make a joke about how long it takes you to write
an email?
Yeah. Or a one-sentence email.
I could check my inbox, see if there's any that have been sitting there for 3 years.
For 3 years, and you answer. Still have not. So if she writes like you, yes.
Possibly, okay.
But I think it's based on the research. She just okay. So here, it's this is 3 sentences long, this one definition of love.
Yeah, these are long sentences. Okay, love. So we cultivate love when we allow our most vulnerable and powerful selves to be deeply seen and known, and when we honor the spiritual connection that grows from that offering with trust, respect, kindness, and affection. Love is not something we give or get. It is something that we nurture and grow, a connection that can only be cultivated between two people when it exists within each one of them. We can only love others as much as we love ourselves. Shame, blame, disrespect, betrayal, and the withholding of affection damage the roots from which love grows. Love can only survive these injuries if they are acknowledged, healed, and rare.
That's long.
Yeah, that's long.
How did you feel when you first read that?
Yeah, I think often, so just one of the things I do when I read books is I skip past anything that's in italics. This is in italics.
So you didn't even read this whole definition?
I mean, I'm just saying, you said what the first time.
Okay.
Right?
Okay, so you just read it now.
I've read it before.
Okay.
No, I think like the idea of love being...
I just can't get over that because most times in most books the italics part is there for emphasis, so you just always skip over like the most important part of a book.
I guess I do.
Okay. So
anyways, I think the part where she's saying we allow our most vulnerable and powerful selves to be deeply seen and known, like that's yeah, like that. I don't know. It feels like that resonates. Like that's a good goal. That's a deep desire, I guess.
You have a deep desire to be seen.
Seen and known.
That's fascinating to me.
Okay.
I feel like that you're dancing to the song in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I got the shivers.
Okay.
When I read that about the idea being of deeply seen and known, obviously, I am like some sort of like wounded person, because I'm just like, I get freaked out when anyways, maybe I should be going back to therapy.
Well,
or just we'll keep reading this.
Yeah, we'll keep reading it. I think we're doing great. Well, I mean, everyone who's listening in can let us know how we're doing.
Well, 10 people. Maybe we'll be up to like 12 by tomorrow.
It's exponential growth.
That's not exponential anyways. Should we just bicker the whole next one?
No.
No.
Belonging. So the next definition is also in italics. So
have you read this one?
I have
before?
Read it. Okay. Belonging is the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. Because true belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world, our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance.
Yeah, boom.
Yeah, I actually like this definition better. Like, when she tries to define love, that's like, it's such a huge thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to find. But belonging, it feels like, okay, that's kind of, I can get my hands around that.
Yeah, and I like how she said that, she doesn't say that in the definition, but like elsewhere, she says that we often think of fitting in as belonging, but they're two different things. Like, fitting in is adjusting to what's going on around you and, like, you know, like, either, like, changing your clothes or something like that. But belonging is a space where you're just accepted as you are. So where it's, like, people just like you for who you are.
Hmm.
Yeah. And it's, like, you don't have to change what you wear or we're gonna, like, curate your image.
Yeah.
For them.
Yeah. Yeah, just the way she phrased it. Belonging only happens when we present our authentic selves to the world. Because we can present a false self to the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something that maybe isn't who we are, who we really are. We're saying, well, this is what other people need, so I'm going to be like this.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to be assertive, or I'm going to be aggressive, or I'm going to be quiet. Because that's what other people need. But you're always going to kind of come away from that kind of feeling.
Like you didn't give them who you really need to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one of the things that actually, the feedback I got a bit from that LEAF program that we did was that because I can tend to curate myself. And in the end, because I'm overcompensating, because I feel like people can't handle me or something, that what ends up happening is that I'm kind of pretending. Yeah. That I'm like giving this sort of version of myself that's not like the true whole, just like kind of defenses down kind of version. But kind of open that book again.
Yeah.
So I can see that, because it's just, I was just thinking about this just now, like on the fly. It's interesting to think about, because in terms of authenticity, because right now there's this like obsession with being like authentic, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about, like, social media. It's like, are you being, like, the real person? Like, because apparently I'm too old for this. Well, am I? Anyways. A lot of teens have their, like, their Finsta, like, their fake Insta.
Ooh.
Where they only put the things that, like, everybody in school is like, going to be okay seeing. Like, all the super curated stuff. And then they have their real Instagram, which is, like, only a few of their friends can see. And then they show, like, you know, the weird selfies and, like, all that kind of stuff. Like, just, they're just a regular self.
Hmm.
Anyways.
Yeah. But, I guess I don't see that entirely negatively. Because you still do need to,
have a professional face for the world or something like that.
I don't know if a teenager does, but, to recognize you, that you can't entrust everything to everyone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing about...
People can take things in the wrong way, and so... They could hurt you, but, you know, you have to be wise in what you share of yourself.
I think that's the interesting thing about this whole conversation about authenticity, is because everybody is so obsessed about it being authentic that it's like...
Yeah. Well, I think there's a good moment in authenticity when you're able to say, that's none of your business.
Yeah, someone, that's true.
Right?
You're so smart sometimes. I mean, often.
Okay. Well, there's a one vote of confidence. Can I have a show of hands? How am I doing with the rest of you?
I'm kind of the most important, aren't I? Yes, you and maybe that's your mom. True.
Yeah. Okay. I think one thing I wanted to come back to was kind of this idea around her definition of love.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of it is that she says, we can only love others as much as we love ourselves.
Yeah.
Which
is scary.
Yeah. It's like, do we think that's true, or is that actually realistic? Right? Because isn't that something that a couple of snowflake millennials would say, right? That we need to love ourselves more?
Well, it makes me think of kind of like the golden rule that's like, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Which is like, I think originally it was...
Or like, love your neighbor as yourself?
Yes. Yes, that's okay. The one. Where, like, at the time, it was like kind of called to treat others the kindly because you love yourself. But now it's kind of like, actually, sometimes we love other people more than we love ourselves.
Yeah.
Like, and sometimes now I feel like it could be used as like, or some people who I've spoken to who are like struggling with self-love, I say, you know, I remind them about that, and they're like, oh yeah, I would never treat someone else the way I treat myself.
Okay. Yeah. So I think it just seems like that's just weird. So here's one thing Brené Brown says. He says, we live in a society that says, put yourself last.
Mm-hmm.
But is that even true? Right? Like, do we actually live in a society that, like, just because, like, I think most people are fairly self-interested.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they're
I sure am.
Mostly living their lives based on the things they want to do.
YOLO.
Is that true?
Right? YOLO.
Like, right? That they would benefit, I would benefit from maybe putting others first every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, right? It seems weird to me that it's like, put yourself last. But I feel like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I would agree with you, but I think there's certain segments of this society, like certainly moms like feel like they need to put themselves last.
Okay.
Because there's just so many other needs that are more pressing.
Yeah.
I'm not really one of those. I'm certainly a put yourself first.
Yeah, I guess it's just like it's a different way of phrasing things. And I'm trying to think of even how to respond as a Christian to that. Right? Like, can we say you have to love yourself first before you can love others? And it feels like they're working with different definitions than maybe that the Bible is.
Yeah.
Of what love is.
Well, she is, I think that's kind of what I wanted to to talk through in this book is like, you know, how do we, I mean, her stuff is based on research. So, right. So like, I think her findings are probably like pretty sound. Maybe not always her definitions necessarily, but like they're still based on, how like can the two be married, the Bible and some of these things.
Yeah. 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 Cause I think there's still like a kernel of truth though, even what she's saying of like, you do need to know yourself for sure before you're really going to be much use at loving others. Right. Like, and even John Calvin says that actually, he says like, you need to, in order to know God, you need to know yourself. Now, what he means by that is that you need to know yourself and know how wicked and awful and sinful you are.
Yeah.
Right. And he's very clear on that because he's John Calvin. But I mean, that I think that's true of even our present day. If you want to love other people, you need to kind of have a good knowledge of yourself, right? And both of your strengths and your weaknesses.
Yeah.
Well, right? So knowing your weaknesses actually makes you able to love other people.
Yes, but think that...
But not like... not being weak towards your weaknesses, maybe, or not being in love with your weaknesses, but being aware of them and not hating yourself because of them.
Yes, those two things.
Yeah.
Because, like, I think sometimes what I've seen with people who are not, like, haven't really done their quote of, like, inner work, like, their therapy work or whatever we want to call it, is, like, they're just like, this is who I am, take it or leave it, you know? Instead of being like, actually, I have things I need to work on. And,
yeah.
But also what you said about, like, you know, we need to know our, like, desperate sinfulness. I think that's why people struggle with that sense of worthiness, because you know that you're just, like, such a mess.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess I think for me that's where grace comes in. And you see, like, that, right, like, we love because God first loved us, right?
Yeah.
Like it says in 1 John.
And gave himself for us.
But that... Because God first loved us, then we can, in our brokenness, love other people. So one thing that kind of connects to this, actually, in Bible study with study at McGill, we've been studying the book of Galatians. And so we came across the fruits of the Spirit, and one of them is self-control. So we're having a discussion about that. Then I remembered that self-control in French is maîtrise de soi.
Mm-hmm.
So it's self-mastery. Right, to be the master of your own self, you know? And I think in my mind that has just like a totally different connotation, right? And I think it links into what kind of what Brené Brown is saying, because intuitively for me, self-control is kind of, it's a subtraction. It's like you need to stop. Self-control means not doing the bad things that you want to do and then kind of gritting your teeth and forcing yourself to do good things instead.
Like digging deep?
I guess so. Yeah. But then maîtrise de soi, or self-mastery, right? It's training. It applies training, but also just kind of knowing how to handle yourself, you know? Okay. And knowing kind of how to lead yourself. You think of like mastery as like a, like, I don't know how to, like,
if
you ride a bike, you know, it's like, you know, how to go faster or how to slow down or how to push harder, you know, but knowing what you're capable of and then knowing how to step back. So I tried to look at it in the Greek, and I'm not fully an expert, but I think the word actually falls more on the self-mastery side.
Okay.
So like the word itself, it's, I think it's enkratos. I don't know why I said that in a weird accent, but enkratos. But that would translate as something like a direct translation would be something like strength inside or inner strength, right? And so it's like, so that there's this concept of inner strength, right? That actually comes from the Holy Spirit, right? And that's an interesting one, because I think there's like, obviously there's lots of books out there of like self-help and whatever, that want to develop your inner strength and your inner person or whatever. Yeah. And they're of like varying usefulness. But there's actually inner strength, like Galatians talks about, like there's actually self-control or inner strength that is given by God, that's given by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, there's all sorts of unhealthy ways to kind of fake self-control.
Yes.
Or to really, I don't know, like be really hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. But then there's something else that comes from like, that I think can really only come from God, that is also like seeing yourself as God sees you, paying attention to your needs and knowing who you really are. So then knowing how to work on things in your life. Right. Yeah. And I think just like that level of awareness of yourself,
the self-awareness
is something pretty close to love. Right. Because it's being fully seen. You need to fully see and know yourself.
Okay. Go back and explain that because I feel like you just made a big jump.
Okay. So just like mastery of yourself. Right. It means like you actually pay attention to yourself enough.
Yes.
That really see yourself and know yourself as you really are.
Yeah.
Right. So even within your own perception of yourself, you're not like lying to yourself anymore.
Yeah.
You're just telling the truth and being honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And that's so.
That is a form of self-love.
Yeah. Like that's. Yeah. Because like, you're being kind with yourself. Such a relief, right? Yeah. To be right in your. I feel like part of that is maybe where Brené Brown's coming from too. So.
Yes. Because it requires a level of gentleness with yourself. Like to be able to say like what I said the other day, like, okay, I can see it now. I am kind of like a tornado at times. And that's like, okay, that's just what it is. Mm. And now I know how to try and, well, I don't know how to try and fix it. I don't know if I can fix it, but yeah, it's like, that's what it is. And yeah, it requires, like, I could be sad about it, I guess, but it's just sort of like, I don't know. Yep. It is what it is. Take it or leave it, Willie. Well, you're stuck now.
I'm keeping it. Well, I put a ring on it.
But that's I guess the
anyways
interesting thing about our 3 month engagement, or sorry, our 3 month dating, is we felt.
Did we even know each other?
We didn't, but we did. Like we already felt a sense of belonging.
We just fell in love and got married.
That's all we did. But yeah, you're stuck now. But we still obviously love each other. We're doing a podcast daily.
Oh, I just wanted to defend my honor a little bit because you were laughing about me skipping all the italics.
Yeah.
Because you know what? I think because the italics, that's what they want me to see. Right? Right? That's not their authentic self in a book. Right? It's all the other stuff that's actually important. The italics, it's like, whatever. That's kind of what they're drawing attention to. But it's everything else that actually shows what the author actually is. So you have to actually read everything else more closely because I did my undergrad in English literature too, right? You got to read the subtext, right? So the stuff that's bold right in the middle, it's like they want you to read that. But if you want to know the person that's writing, you got to read the stuff that's not in the italics.
Okay. I wish everybody could see my face the whole time you were just doing your little rant there because there are no words. Do what you want, but in my head, it's the...
But you're just saying them, right? All the stuff you're saying is in italics, but your whole body language is like kind of the regular print. And I can see that, so I can understand you right now.
I don't even know.
So you're just proving my point, that you got to read more than beyond just like the headline stuff. Anyways.
I guess, so what you're saying is, if I was saying with my mouth, read my lips, do what I say, that's the italics, you're like, whatever.
Yeah. Anyways, marriage counseling. Maybe next week's marriage counseling. Marriage tomorrow counseling. Night. Anyways, I wish you'd sign off.
Well, do you want to talk about the song that you like that's related to this?
Should I sing it?
No. I'll attach it at the end.
No. So, it looks like a Torrin Wells, right? And he kind of has like I don't know his style of music. It's like Justin Bieber. Or like Justin Bieber like 5 years ago. So if you Sorry, you'll like this song. But I heard it at the grocery store. Anyways.
Which is weird because we're in Montreal. Because
I was kind of listening and bebopping along. And it's another millennial, like a 30-something guy that wrote it. But he sounds like Justin Bieber.
But you really liked it because it talks about being... Yeah,
because it's actually about God. It's a worship song. And, I'm gonna start singing. I can't find the words, but it just talks about how we are fully known and loved by God.
Yeah. You know? Okay. So it says.
It's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace.
Yeah.
To be fully known and loved by you.
So we're going to attach the lyrics to the show notes, and I'm going to start playing the song for you to listen to if you're willing to right now. But we're just going to sign off with for that. Right now, and then you can listen to the song.
Yeah.
Cannot find the reasons why you give me so much. I'm